ओम शांति। Many of you have strong connections to Madhuban, and so you would have been seeing the messages that are flying, but some of you may not have that. But today is the day which is the 75th anniversary of the move from Karachi to Abu. It's an easy date to remember. I don't often remember dates, but 5/5/1950. And it's significant because it tells us that Shiv Baba truly is the one who knows the total history and geography of the world. We would say that Baba knows me personally. Each one of us would say that. Who would say that? Baba knows me. It takes a little bit of time to warm up. But yes, I think everyone who's sitting here is a Brahmin, because you've had evidence that this is Baba. Baba knows me personally and is supporting me and guiding me and helping me on my journey. But Baba also knows the total history and geography. And so when Baba's Lokik friends, in particular a person who was in business but also a politician and happened to be Brijendra Dadi's brother-in-law, married to her sister, again from the Mukhi family, big family, he was close friends with Baba. And when he heard Baba telling people, sell your property, he said to Baba, Baba, why are you doing this? What's going to happen? And Baba didn't reply. Then he knew what was in Baba's mind. It was being talked about. Baba, partition can never ever happen. I'm in politics. I know the inside story. Nobody is ever going to accept that partition happens. And of course, drama revealed itself. And then when it was families who had crossed over to India from Sindh, from Karachi, Hyderabad, all the families that these souls had left behind, when they all moved, they asked for their families to come. And so that was a pressure on Baba. Everybody's families writing and telling them they have to leave Pakistan, they have to come to India, there's no safety in Pakistan. And Baba's answer to them was, wait, when it's time to go, Baba will tell us. We don't need to do anything unless Baba tells us to. So Brahma Baba's faith was absolute right from the very beginning. As soon as he had his visions, well, you know the whole history. And in today's Murali, Baba's again remembered that story of total surrender of Brahma Baba instantly. But everybody else also who was there had that total faith that whatever Baba says is correct. And if Baba tells us to jump into the river, we would do that. Why? Because Baba would never say anything which was not beneficial for us. And then of course Baba never told them to jump into the river. But that total faith, if Baba says something, we say jiha. So nobody had second thoughts about it. They all stayed. And of course then, two things. If they had left in that craziness of exodus from here to there, from there to there, it's been described as the biggest human displacement in history. Whatever is happening today is happening. You know the histories, the stories of the world, but such a mass movement from here to there, from there to there, and a lot of trouble, rivers of blood. And so Baba saved them from all of that. But also, Baba knew that Pakistan would not be a situation in which they would be able to do service. And they didn't think about service. They were just loving Sangam Yoga, being with Baba. And their only desire was that we should all stay together under one roof with Baba. And of course, when the time came, Baba gave the signal and they were able to move. And Baba's instruction to Didi Manmohini and Dada Anand Kishore, who were the people, and one other person, I've forgotten who, but these two I remember very well. So they came across to India and they were guided by the blind guru, and he then, a friend of Baba. Some of the gurus turned against Baba, as you know, but this one, Gangeshwaranand Guru Swami, he told them, "Have you been to Abu?" They hadn't heard of Abu. And he said, "Okay, I'll send you with one of my chelas." And they found the place, Brijkoti, where they were able to move. And it was following the two guidelines that Baba gave: find a place which is far from the eyes of the world, and secondly, find a place where everyone can stay under one roof together. And so that's how they came to Abu and Brijkoti. But third reason why it happened at that time, you've heard the story of Drupadi's pot running dry, becoming empty. And that was the start of the beggary period. Well, all the funding that was there, can you imagine? 350 people coming in this big steamer. You've seen photographs of that big, big steamer. And then not just that, coming to Oka Harbour, but also imagine hiring a whole train so that everybody could travel together. And it's also the days immediately after the partition war, and still the days after the World War, just a few years later. And so things were hard everywhere anyway, but yet that was the time they moved, and that was a time that, coming to Abu, the weather was different. Down below in the caves was a sannyasi who hated women, and he was doing magic spells to get them away. So everything coincided to make the tree shake. And of course, those who had faith stayed. Those who didn't have faith had questions, doubts, they left. And they thought that they were going to come back soon when things were better. But of course, once they were gone and they had no intention of really coming to any situation that was going to be challenging for them, so they stayed away, and that was drama. And so the tree really was shaken hard. But of course, all the people, you know, the dadis, they're the ones who stayed and went through that whole period without any thought about why is this happening? It shouldn't be happening like this. And that's when Baba was thinking also, why is this happening? Why are God's children suffering? And so that was then the time that Baba said, because they used to offer bhog every time Piyu came. The trance medium was channeling Shiv Baba, and Piyu would come. And then after that, Piyu stopped coming, long story, cutting it short, and bhog wasn't being offered because we are living with Baba, Baba's Pandara, Baba's talk today about Brahma Bhojan. We're eating the food that has come from Shiv Baba through Brahma Baba. So all those things were happening, but that was a time that then the actual offering of bhog in a very specific way, on a daily basis, to Shiv Baba started. So every story has huge, huge significance attached to it. But especially this story of the move from Karachi to Abu is really very, very historical. And so it's a date that I'm sure all of us will remember. But this year it's specifically poignant because it's 75 years since that move. And in Abu, they had a Pandavavan, they had a discussion about should we be doing something special to honor this. And then they looked at the state of Pandavavan. Kitchen is being renovated, spaces, houses are being renovated, all of these things are happening. So Pandavavan isn't really in any condition to host a big gathering, a celebration. So they decided, rather than something now, they'll wait for the 90 years anniversary of the Yajna, which comes next year. So that's the present story, and that was the past history. But very significant day today. And so, just picking up on the Murli from yesterday, and actually today also the Sakar Murli. Before I gave my first lecture, I was with Mahendra Bhai in Agra, and Baba had asked me to go to Kanpur because the governor couldn't speak Hindi. He was from South India, so Baba had asked me to go. And the one thing that I learned from that training, interesting training, another story, but what he said was a BK has to give three specific ideas in any lecture they give. Doesn't matter what the topic is, you find a way to go around it and come back to three things. You must give people the knowledge of soul, you must give people the knowledge of God, you must tell people what time it is in the cycle. And if you don't tell people these three things, your lecture has been worthless. And I can understand why he said that, very true. Because these are the very, very new things that Baba has told us, and these are the three things that transform our lives. But yesterday in the Murli, Baba spoke about the three dots a little bit differently. And I'm sure you would have noticed. But yes, the first, be the point. Experience yourself as the soul. But thirdly, learn to apply the full stop, drama. And then thirdly, churn all the good points of knowledge so that your head is able to get rid of why, what, how, when, if and but. If you're churning all the positive points of Baba's Gyan, then you'll have the capacity to be able to put a full stop whenever something happens. But you have to start practicing that today. And if I haven't been practicing it already, we've been hearing this for some of us many years, some Baba's new children. But if we haven't been practicing that, then in the final moments, what's going to happen? Am I going to be able to say, Baba, I love you, I'm coming to you, everything's done, drama is finished, it's over? Or am I going to say, oh, I wish I wasn't here, I wish I was there, what about this one, what's happening to this one, what's happening to that one, what could I do? No. Whatever is happening, can I put a full stop? And you know that nothing can happen without practice. The simplest of tasks or the simplest of ideas, if you haven't practiced it, you've understood it, but you haven't practiced it. And if you haven't practiced it, it's not going to help you. And so have I been practicing whatever is going on within the drama, full stop. There's benefit. Baba is benevolent. Drama is beneficial. words can I put a full stop so that I train my mind to be obedient? I'm experiencing the stage that Baba spoke about of having mastery over my mind, mastery over my feelings. My thoughts will create the feelings. And so if I want to stay feeling happy and content, you know, Baba talks about in the Sakar Murali, death to the prey and happiness for the hunter. And am I a prey, a victim of Maya and circumstance? Or am I the hunter who knows exactly what's going on? So I know that it's not the end, it's a preparation for the new beginning. And so my practice has to be in little things today. I've dropped a glass of water. Okay, we'll stop. Let me clean up the mess. But not to say, why did they leave it there? They shouldn't have left it there. If they hadn't left it there, it wouldn't have happened. Or blaming the self or blaming others. Human reaction. Something happens and you blame others. And sometimes you blame yourself. But neither is useful. And so can I learn to have kindness and compassion for myself and accept that drama is benevolent, full stop. Yes, maybe I needed to do a little bit of housework and karma yoga and clean up everything. It's okay. But little things, big things, somebody says something that I don't like, full stop. Not to have it buzzing. It took them how many seconds to say that? And how long did it take me to stop those thoughts? Minutes, hours, days, many days, and later I'm still remembering the face of that person and what they said to me. But the practice, full stop, full stop, full stop. And so if I can learn to do this, then I have the faith and confidence for myself that whatever happens, I'll be able to tune into Baba and catch Baba's signal, where to go, what to do. A parent will always reach out for a child if a child is in danger. And so surely the most merciful mother, the most compassionate, loving father is going to reach out to me. But if my mind is occupied, going round and round in a circle, Baba's telling me something and I can't catch it. And so the full stop also means that my mind is clear, it's clean. There's nothing that's going to pollute the signal that's coming through to me. Keeping me safe doesn't mean that this body will survive. It's time to leave this body when it's time. But it'll also mean that I won't need to go through unnecessary suffering. I put a full stop, Baba tells me, you just stay where you are, and I stay. And maybe it's time for the soul to leave the body and go. And again, if I've been practicing that, detach, 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 then I'll be able to go. So today's Murali is emphasizing this. Yesterday's Murali was very explicit about this. And so every single Murali reminds us of these three things: soul and God and time. And so these are the three most important lessons that I need to keep reminding myself of all the time. Not enough just in the morning and at night, but things are happening through the day. And so that's when I need to practice. And some of you know that GRC just finished a silence retreat yesterday. And the results were magical. We started Wednesday evening and concluded yesterday. No, Saturday. We concluded Saturday, actually. So it was only really two full days. But we changed the timetable a little bit this time. We've only ever had one other silence retreat for Call of Time people in Oxford. I don't remember whether, I think they've had other groups that have had some silence retreats. Worthing is doing a lot of silence retreats currently. So you must be getting the notices, and if you want to join, catch that. But certainly for Call of Time, there's only ever been one before in Oxford. They've been having them regularly in Peace Village, but here we didn't have time to fit in everything. But this time there was a special request, and Peter Senge came specially to the UK for this, to be with us. And he used a very lovely expression, silence is our host, and our host is taking care of us and looking after us very well. Because this time we decided it wouldn't just be silence, full stop, but morning class that carried on, of course, even in Peace Village. But this time we put in evening time, a space in which they could share experiences. And even people who we didn't expect would enjoy the silence so much, but they were recommended by different souls. So we had an interview with them. Every person was interviewed. Do you have a practice? Are you used to long periods of silence? And if you are, then welcome. And if you don't, then it's better to come to another dialogue rather than the silence retreat. So, and the letters that went out to them even suggested that whatever your situation is, but we would recommend that for 1 month at least, abstain from alcohol and meat before you come, so that you're ready for a new experience. And we didn't ask them, did you? But many of them would have been vegetarian anyway, but also I'm sure that those who weren't would have followed that signal. Because they came with that real sincere intention. A woman who's a Christian said to me, I'm very much still a Christian, but I'm also feeling that I'm not able to explore any new ideas and have further spiritual growth. And so when I was invited by a friend of hers, I decided to come because I hoped that it would open some new avenues to explore in spirituality. So it was people like that, very sincere people. This is just one example I'm giving you. So that first day, the Thursday, at the end of the day, we opened up to share experiences. And about five of us were BK, so 25 guests. But more than half of them spoke, because it was voluntary, not mandatory. But more than half of them spoke, and every single one spoke about magical experience, powerful experience. So somebody had visions, somebody spoke about a vision they'd had a long time ago. So it was very intoxicating. Baba uses the word intoxicating. Well, that evening was particularly intoxicating because you were just hearing the experiences that had happened through silence. And you know when Baba says there'll come a time when there'll be visions happening. Today again Baba's spoken about that. But in this case it wasn't visions of effort or visions of, one had a vision of Baba, the other one spoke about visions of the Golden Age. So many things. But visions happen when you give people space to be free from not just other activity, but other thoughts. And that doesn't happen in a short meditation. In a short meditation, you're just trying to go beyond all of those things, and then you make the connection and you start experiencing something. But if there's been preparation in which you're practicing soul consciousness, you don't have to get involved with mundane conversations and, you know, the sort of superficial courtesy conversations that we are supposed to have with everyone around us. So all of those things are out of the way. There's a timetable. You know what's happening at what time. Oxford, of course, prepares everything beautifully, the atmosphere. Not today, another time I'll tell you some of the points we took up in. Well, because the question was, here we have such a powerful atmosphere. And that applies not just to Oxford, but any one of Baba's homes, and also here. People walk in and they feel the atmosphere, and they know that they're somewhere different, not just in an institution or a house or something, or a business, but they're in a sacred place. And so how does one create that atmosphere? Peter Senge always comments that the skill that Brahma Kumaris have all over the world is to create sacred spaces where there's a powerful atmosphere. So can somebody learn how to do this and create a powerful atmosphere in their own home or even in their place of work? Yes, of course, but how? There are very specific steps that Baba has taught us. So the atmosphere also, of course, was part of the ingredient, but the silence. And so silence created the space in which people could have a powerful experience. And usually within a group, there's always one person who has a bit of trouble, whether it's with silence or whether it's with the concepts, whatever it is. But in this case, not a single one. Everyone, absolutely. Then yesterday, the feedback, people come with different aims, and very often people who come to a retreat, whether it's a dialogue or silence, they come with a question, what next? I'm in a moment of transition and I'm not quite sure what next. And so a few of them spoke about how they'd been finding answers to the question, what next? So Baba made magic happen through silence this time. But we have to think about how to bring more silence into Global House. And GRC also are thinking about how to bring more silence into all the retreats that they do. So open areas for further reflection, and we can see what further we want to do here specifically. But reflect on that. So, special Tawli, I've been seeing the sisters give a lot of time and attention and energy to preparing the Tawli,